Bush concluded on the subject with Diane Sawyer, saying again that his invasion of Iraq means America's a more secure country. In fact, with our army stretched to the breaking point, our international credibility at an all-time low, Muslims further radicalized against us, our relations with key allies damaged, and our soldiers in a shooting gallery, it is as hard to believe that America is safer for the invasion as it is to believe that President Bush had good intelligence on weapons of mass destruction, or that this country was threatened with Saddam Hussein in power. As Weapons Inspector David Kaye was forced to admit, quote, "We were all wrong, probably," unquote. Both the White House and CIA must have known there was no imminent threat to the United States, but one claimed the opposite, and the other allowed them to do so, uncorrected. In his famous Top Gun moment on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln, the president claimed that the invasion of Iraq was just one battle in the war on terrorism that began on September 11th. It's not hard to understand why, after repeatedly hearing remarks like that, 70% of the American people believed that Saddam Hussein had attacked the Pentagon and the World Trade Center. I suspect that many of the heroic U.S. troops who risked their lives fighting in Iraq thought, because of misleading statements from the White House, that they were avenging the 3,000 dead from September 11th. Only in September 2003, only after occupying Iraq, did the president clearly state that there was no evidence that Iraq was involved in the September 11th attacks. That new clarity must have come as a disappointing shock to American troops being targeted by snipers and blown up by landmines in Iraq. After President Bush was forced to admit publicly that there was no connection between the Al-Qaeda attack of September 11th and Saddam Hussein's government in Iraq, advocates of the Iraq War began to shift their argument. They began to emphasize the connections and linkages between Iraq and Al-Qaeda in general. When challenged in congressional testimony, Undersecretary of Defense Doug Feith promised to produce the intelligence that demonstrated the link. Not only did he send a memo to a congressional committee with a précis of dozens of such intelligence reports, someone leaked the highly classified memo to a neoconservative magazine. Neoconservative commentators then pointed to the illegally leaked document as conclusive proof of the Al-Qaeda-Iraq nexus. For those uninitiated in how to read raw intelligence reports, the Feith memo might have been persuasive. For those who have read thousands of such reports over many years, the Feith memo proved little. The Washington Post quoted longtime Defense Intelligence Agency expert Pat Lang as saying the memo was, quote, "a listing of a mass of unconfirmed reports," unquote, many of which actually proved that Al-Qaeda and Iraq had not succeeded in establishing a modus vivendi. The simple fact is that lots of people, particularly in the Middle East, pass along many rumors, and they end up being recorded and filed by U.S. intelligence agencies in raw reports. That does not make them intelligence. If there were evidence of Iraq giving funds or safe haven to Al-Qaeda before the invasion, the administration would have produced it. There is, of course, evidence that Iran provided Al-Qaeda safe haven before and after September 11th. There is also evidence that Saudis provided Al-Qaeda with funds. Any Iraqi link to Al-Qaeda is a minor footnote when compared to the links with other regimes.